With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
And Jay Cross.
Hiya.
No Joe Branton this evening.
He's out on tour again.
He was going to try and Skype in, but then he just texted saying, I'm still sound checking. So, yeah, no Branton. But it did kind of put an idea in my brain. What about if we take calls? What if we do an episode where we set up a Skype address just for Guitar Nerds? And we take some straight-to-air calls.
Could we do that with Matty?
Yep.
Yeah.
On? Yeah, yep. I suppose you can just...
Yeah, because we did that Skype one ages ago in the previous incarnation with Rebecca Dirks.
With Rebecca Dirks, we did, yeah.
And it worked quite well.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I suppose it's when you've got like a five-way conversation with everyone on Skype, it's kind of a bit more difficult. But with like two people or three people, it's kind of fine.
So if people want to do that, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum.
You just have
maybe
to
let's
be...
just put some ideas, just put an idea out there that maybe we're going to do a phone call special and take some calls straight to air.
Just have to be available by your computer at about 6 o'clock on a Monday evening.
Yeah. Oh, mate, wait, that's
GMT.
Sometimes.
No, it's not GMT at the moment, is it? Because we're
it's BST.
BST.
Yeah.
Which is GMT plus one.
Yeah.
Or minus one.
Yeah.
Plus one.
Yeah. Did you know there's an internet standard time?
Isn't that just GMT?
I think it might be, but
it's
doesn't
also,
change...
It's not it's universal.
It doesn't change with British summertime.
Summertime. I think
isn't
this
there
is
a space
GMT?
Universal time as well?
Is there?
Yeah, I think so. Because the International Space Station need... a general 24-hour time frame to work towards.
I think that's also space. GMT.
Yeah.
Is it actually? Yeah, it might be.
I think it is because it's just like, it's like the constant, yeah, well, it's like the middle of the map that we arbitrarily decided
is
the best way to display the...
Yeah, yeah.
It's because we, as Greenwich or England, won the choice to be the centre of time when they decided, then they came up with the time frame.
When it was like Eurovision, I hear. There was a big vote. Who wants to be the centre of time? Oh, yeah, Greenwich. Big
Before
win.
Before reality TV was a...
Big win for the... Yeah, yeah, reality TV used to be a lot more boring when they were deciding who wins mean time, not who gets to... There was a reality TV show the other day that I caught a bit of that was a competition to see which dog could learn to fly a plane. That was actually a thing. Actually a thing. Matt Knight, what have you been up to this week?
I haven't had a lot of chance to play guitar, unfortunately. I work in a guitar shop, so I get a chance to play a lot of guitars. But I haven't had a chance to sit down and play my own guitar, which has been a massive shame. But I'm still trying to work out a way to record audio better for doing some videos. Because I kind of like doing the little videos with the little iPhone. I think it's quite fun. I thought if I could take some live questions would be quite good as well.
So we have an iRig Pro Duo here that you can pick up when you next come down and see if you can get that to work. Because I tried and I couldn't get it to record more than one channel of audio. So... you should come and pick that up and set that up and have a play with it.
Isn't that what the Duo stands for?
Yeah, it's two channel, but I tried to record into the phone and it would only record from channel one.
That's really annoying.
So there's probably something that I wasn't doing in the phone to, because I tried to do a Periscope and record some like speech microphone and the guitar through an amp modeler.
Right, okay.
Well, the Duo acts as the sound card for the phone, essentially.
Right,
so,
okay.
But yeah, Matt, you can pick that up when you want. We need to do a review of it, so it'd be good for you to start using it for some videos and stuff.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. And yeah, I'll pick it up. I think I might come down and visit you people next weekend.
Cool.
So we can go to the Lou Reed Drones exhibition.
We should probably have this conversation off air, but when are you going to do that? Because I'm busy most of Sunday.
I don't know.
I mean, realistically, how long is it going to take you to go around that drones exhibition?
That's true. I'm putting on a gig on Sunday, and so I need to be... I can't do anything early evening.
Is the gig just some guitars lent up against amps doing drones?
I'm putting on this Lou Reed thing.
Sweet. I want to hear your two reviews of that. You're no doubt going to say it's amazing.
Yeah, I bet it will be.
Yeah,
it's going to be.
I might even go to Jay's gig. I've got the dream.
I mean, you've already spent most of the day listening to rubbish music. Then why not go and listen to some more? You know? Fine.
Yeah.
Talking about rubbish music, Jay Cross, what have you been up to this week?
So I spent a lot of time. I feel like I spent a considerable period of my week defending Gibson on the.
We're going to talk about that in this week's Patreon,
right? Okay.
Because topics come up about Gibson quality control.
Yes.
Patreon.com/guitar nerds for the extra episode this week is going to be all about that.
I don't like acting as a natural bridge for you to do that. I didn't know that.
You were shilling, basically. You were shilling for the Patreon.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to talk about in the Patreon episode. Yeah, so I feel
like I spent quite a lot of my week being like, nah, and trying to decide whether I cared enough to do it, but of course I did.
Yeah, it's the Guitar Nerds Forum. Yeah. You got to care.
Yeah, and I do. I do care a lot, even though I don't need to anymore. I'm just a fan now. I'm not someone trying to protect my own monetary interest, but because I don't work in a guitar shop anymore, so I am just a fan. And as a fan, I was like, oh no, it was weird because I was wearing a Gibson T-shirt for the first time I think since I stopped working in a guitar shop about 6 months ago. I was like, I'm going to wear that T-shirt today. And then,
you had to defend the badge.
I did. But yeah, I guess we'll talk about that in a bit.
Definitely.
That's the main guitar thing this week.
My main guitar thing this week, something big was happening over on the Guitar Nerds Twitter. And started off on the Facebook, actually. The Guitar Nerds World Cup of Pedals 2016.
Well, you talked about it on here, didn't you, last
So we
week?
Talked about it on the... we sort of
it
came up
fantastic.
With it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Absolutely fantastic. I was so, like... That's. I mean, I've been on and off Twitter since I, like, actually got it. And then this time I was like, couldn't stop refreshing the, like, Twitter feed. I was like, this is actually amazing.
Yeah, totally. So just a quick explanation. We came up with something last week on the podcast, inspired by the fact that the fella who does Pointless...
Yeah, Richard
Osman. Is it
okay.
Osman?
I don't know.
Something like that. He's been doing like World Cups on his Twitter for a while, where he basically sets up group stages of things like biscuits.
Okay.
And in Group A, there'll be four different types of biscuits, and you vote for which one that you would like to see progress, and the top two go through to a round of 16, then a quarter final, semi final, and the final. And I thought what would be fun is to do that with guitar pedals.
Yeah.
Everyone's, got opinions on them. Everyone was kind of wanting to see their favourites win. And some of the companies came out and kind of supported their pedals right to the end. And that was a really cool thing because, you know, loads of new people got involved, people that hadn't really got involved with Guitar Nerds before. And it kind of was a big thing. Like, it was difficult because Sunday was really sunny.
Yeah.
And
we were out on the beach.
I ended up sitting on Brighton Beach, like, curating my Twitter feed to try and make the World Cup of Pedals 2016 a working thing. I think we were on, like, the quarterfinals at that point.
And, like, struggling.
Well, basically,
for 3G.
Before we went out, I had to say, like, oh, yeah, by the way, these are now going to last 2 hours instead of one because I'm going to the beach and I can't guarantee I've got Wi-Fi. So, apologies for anyone who had kind of scheduled their Sunday around the schedule for World Cup of Pedals 2016. It changed a little bit. But what I thought we would do is a little bit of kind of match of the day, post-match analysis on the World Cup of Pedals 2016. And Jay, you've got the have you got the qualifying?
I've got everything. I've gone back to the beginning of the World Cup of Pedals.
Okay,
on
so
the Guitar Nerds Twitter account.
So what?
Guitar Nerds.
Cool. So what we start off with was preliminary rounds of 64 pedals that were kind of decided in conjunction with the Facebook group a little bit. People put their input in. Basically, I went through every pedal retailer I could find and listed a kind of A to Z of every pedal, basically, every manufacturer. And then we kind of, in negotiation with the Facebook group, kind of picked a pedal for each brand. So, preliminary group A.
So there's a lot of preliminary rounds.
Well, there is, because there's 64 divided by four, so whatever that is.
So the first in the first round, in group A, we had the Arion SCH1, the Earthquaker Devices Hoof Reaper, the Mad Professor Tiny Phaser, and the Red Witch Fuzz Gold.
Okay.
And it was the Hoof Reaper and the Arion. I don't know what that is. What's the Arion SCH1?
Classic 80s chorus.
Right.
In a plastic box that everyone thought, oh, yeah, that's probably a bit rubbish. And then actually it turned out to be really good.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Which
it's,
is...
I think... I can't remember. I think quite a few famous like session guys started using it, and now like people have been modding it to like upgrade the components just to kind of get a little less noise out of the unit. But yeah, it actually sounds really good. I had one for a little while, and surprisingly good for about £30.
So this is why. Well, basically, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to do pedals that are out right now that you could buy, or throw in some classics. And I thought, let's throw in a couple of classics, a couple of wild cards, and the Arion was one of those. So. Interesting that that got through. The Hoof Reaper did really well. Earthquaker got behind it and retweeted some tweets and stuff. So that was cool. And, you know, a nice little pedal. What's Group B?
Group B is the BBE Soul Vibe, the EHX Big Muff, the Magnetic FX White Atom, and the Keeley 4-knob Compressor.
So...
And, yeah, the BBE Soul Vibe, unfortunately...
Wait. How many votes were in the group?
104.
Okay.
And the BBE Soul Vibe got 1% of those.
Okay.
So presumably it got one vote.
Okay. I like that pedal. It's a cool pedal.
The Big Muff stormed to victory with a massive 63%. And then the Keeley just pipped the Magnetic White Atom, which I was a little bit surprised about, actually.
Disappointed.
I was very surprised that I guess maybe it's to do with the fact that you did tag Keeley and Magnetic.
So Magnetic don't seem to have a Twitter.
Right, okay.
Keeley, again, tagged them. I think Robert Keeley's not used his Twitter account for maybe like 5 years or something.
Right, okay.
So yeah, tagged him in them, but no
Nothing
response. Either that or just hates guitar nerds, maybe, you never know. Or maybe hates World Cups.
Yes. Yeah, so, weird.
So, that yes, was, that group, I think, obvious, the Big Muff.
I mean,
was
the Big Muff was always going to storm that.
Yeah.
So, the next round, the next group was the Behringer US 600. I don't know what that is either.
That is the pitch shifter that Joe Branton always goes on about, being the one that kind of glitches out and is kind of fun sounding and is like £12 or something.
Right, okay. So, there was that. The Empress Tape Delay. The Maleco Lo-Fi Echo and the Seymour Duncan Vapor Trail. And the two that progressed there were the Empress Tape Delay and the Seymour Duncan Vapor Trail. Shame that that Maleco didn't get through, but I think out of those, it was those two delays going through was the right thing.
Yep, totally. 100% right result. I really like both of those. I noticed actually, Joe Branton bought a load of the pedals back. So we went and did a load of filming at Joe's. The tape delay doesn't seem to have come back, and I noticed that he posted a video the other day on Facebook of the tape delay somehow found its way onto a board of his, so I need to take that up with him.
Right, okay.
Because we haven't yet done a review on that.
Right,
and,
okay.
And I believe we're also giving it away as a competition prize somewhere down the line, so that needs to come back.
they are really, really good.
Yeah,
wonderful, wonderful delay. Really, really lovely delay. And just like, there's so much going on with it.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
So the next round was, for me, the biggest disappointment, unfortunately. The Bigfoot King Fuzz, the Eventide Pitch Factor.
Pitch Factor.
Yeah. So it's up there as Pitch Factory, but yeah, okay. Pitch Factor. The Marshall Governor GV2 and the Stone Deaf PDF2.
Okay.
And unfortunately, Bigfoot falling away and not just being pipped to the post by the Pitch Factor and the Governor.
The governor stormed it. The governor got really far in this tournament. We can talk about it more in a bit, but
yeah,
GV2 as well. Anyway, let's go on to the next group. We'll talk about governors in a bit.
Next round, Group E, we had the Black Star HT Boost, the Fender Blender, the Maxon OD808, and the Strymon Timeline. Again, I don't think any surprise that the Strymon just absolutely destroyed everything by getting a massive 60% of the vote, 62% of the vote, and then the Fender Blender sort of just mopped up the rest of the results by grabbing 16%. So yeah, that was a shame that that Black Star didn't.
Yeah, I thought that was going to do more. Definitely 8%.
Yeah, so. but there we go. Next round, we had the Karl Martin Hot Drive, the Full Tone Full Drive, the Mesa Boogie Flux Drive, and the Sewer Riot Drive. So a bit of a drivey round.
They weren't picked out like that at all. That's just the way the chips crumbled. Fell. The cards fell.
Yeah.
The chips were down and the cards fell.
Right.
And then the cookie crumbled.
Yes. And it ended up being the Full Tone Full Drive 2 that took up, again, like half the votes.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Classic, though, isn't it?
Interesting really? in these preliminary rounds, like, when one thing was going to win, it was going to win by a long way.
Yeah. And the Boogie Flux Drive, which is a great pedal. A cool pedal, the Flux Drive. That made it through over the Karl Martin Hot Drive, which I'm not really sure about.
You like the Hot Drive and Boost, don't you?
Well, I had one, and they're hardwired, though.
Yeah.
Like, stupid.
Yeah, that's always the tricky thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe that's a transformer / headroom thing, perhaps.
Yeah, it could be.
Because it's coming in mains, you can just get
so much headroom.
I mean, they do sound really good, though.
Yeah, definitely.
The Sewer Riot Drive, not making it through either on that one. Next, we had the Cast Engineering Casper. Which was, I think, Cast Engineering really, really ran with this. And this was the round, this was the, in the preliminary round, this was the one that got the most votes, interestingly. And I think that's because Cast Engineering were absolutely hammering it, like desperate to try and get one over.
They
the,
really really got behind the competition,
they
which
did,
is cool.
Yes, yeah. And so they were up against the Heil Sound Talkbox, the Montreal Assembly Count to 5, and the T-Rex Replicator. And Cast Engineering, they obviously took it, and they ran with it. They did, yeah. And they beat the Replicator, which came in second, and the Montreal Count to 5, which I bet you, what did you vote for in that one? You voted for the Montreal Assembly?
No, I voted for the Casper.
Did
Casper's
you?
A great pedal. It is absolutely phenomenal.
I went with the Replicator.
Okay.
Because if I'd had a second vote, it would have gone with the Casper. And I think I did eventually end up voting for the Casper later down the line. But the Replicator is just so wild.
So this next group is interesting.
This next group is very interesting. So in Group H, we had... God, we've got a lot of groups to go, haven't we?
There is a lot, yeah. We'll do is we'll go through these preliminary groups. We'll skip through the... then there was like the actual group stage.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Round of 16. That. We'll go straight to the quarters.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's where it gets exciting. But I just wanted to talk about all the pedals
first. Every pedal. Yeah, so in the next round, we had the Catlin Bread Belle Epoque, the Hotone Grass, the Moor Green Mile, which I think, are they both Cheap Screamer copies?
Cheap
Screamers.
Cheap Screamers. And then the TC Hall of Fame. And yeah, the Hotone Grass and the Moor Green Mile together only got 6% of the vote.
Yeah.
And then the Hall of Fame and the Catlin Bread, Belle Epoque made it through in quite safe style. I think maybe the Grass and the Green Mile, maybe they like tripped up over that first hurdle.
Okay.
And they weren't in it for the rest of the race.
Okay, they tripped over the... They were running the Green Mile.
Yeah.
They tripped onto the grass.
Yeah, okay, got it. Got it. That's it. Next round, we had the Chase Bliss Warp Vinyl. The Tube Screamer 808, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Why?
Well, I was just surprised that the TS9 didn't go through.
No, TS808.
I mean, I prefer the 808.
Yeah.
But I just thought that TS9 is the more popular pedal.
That was the one that I put up in the Facebook group first, and there were no complaints.
There we go. So. Lovely. Then the Moog Freakbox and the Tech 21 Sans Amp. And I think what this group shows off is the demographic of guitar players to bass players who are following the our social channels.
Well, I mean, the Sans amp was, there was a guitar, that's the pedal that went in. Otherwise, I would have put Sans amp bass DI.
Oh, okay. So it was the guitar Sans amp. Okay, right. Well, that's the Sans amp GT, isn't it?
Something like that.
GT2 or GT Classic.
Yeah.
See, or GT Classic Relic.
See, really, I feel like you should have clarified that.
Fine. Carry on.
The Tube Screamer and the Chase Bliss made it through with no troubles whatsoever. Then we get through to the next round, which was a lot closer.
Tight group.
Really, really, like, only a couple of votes swayed this, I think, by the looks of things. So we had the Boss VB2, the Boss VB2W, the J-Rocket Archer, the Morpheus Bomber, and the Thorpe FX Muff Room Cloud. And, other than the Morpheus, the other three pedals ended up being 2 percentage points. There was 2 percentage points between them, and the J-Rocket Archer was what missed out. The Thorpe FX Muffroom Cloud and the VB2W making it through.
So we all know about the VB2W. We talked about it a lot, but Matt, you're probably the only one who's tried the Thorpe stuff, right?
Yeah. They're really good.
What's the verdict on the Muffroom Cloud?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like, it's going for sort of like a big muff, but with more gain.
Okay.
And they sound awesome. They're designed by a guy, I think he started building...
Is his name something Thorpe?
I think, it is something okay. Thorpe. He used to be in the army, as far as I'm aware, and then he went... And then he was into playing guitar, and he started building clones, and then he was, like, sort of modding them from that, and then was like, oh, I should probably do, like, a classic sort of big muff sound. And it sounds amazing, but there's loads more gain on tap.
Okay.
And his pedals, if you've seen them, are, like... unlike any other pedal design, they're like huge, like stainless steel boxes.
Yeah.
So they're quite cool, and they're all sort of like laser etched and everything, which is quite nice. And although it's no longer called the Muffroom Cloud, I think it's called the Fallout Cloud now.
Okay.
I think they had to change it due to a certain muff making company that decided that it was not an appropriate name for a pedal.
Sure.
So I think it's had to change, but yeah, they've got like a high gain overdrive now, and like a distortion and like a low gain boost as well.
Okay.
But the Muffroom Cloud is like the one. You're starting to see that on like a lot of pedal boards. So I think the early ones are probably going to be like a good future classic, I would say. But yeah, like for Big Muff copy, or I say Big Muff clones. I hate saying that because obviously it's not. That's what it's based on, but it's, you know.
Yeah, that's the starting point, basically.
Yeah. But it sounds amazing. For like that kind of real sort of high gain, sort of fuzzy sort of sound, awesome.
Jay, next group.
Next group, again, was a close one. We had the Crowther Audio Hotcake, the Jam Pedals Delay Llama, the Mr. Black Supermoon, and the Voodoo Lab Sparkle Drive. And the Crowther Audio and the Mr. Black made it through. I don't know anything about the Mr. Black.
Neither do I. Matt, you probably have had experience with those.
Which one was it? Is it the
Supermoon?
The Supermoon, like, yeah, basically like just an ambient reverb in a box, which is kind of cool that they Mr. Black tend to do, like, they certainly like edge on some of the weirder pedals out there. But yeah, it's designed to basically just be like a huge, I don't know, how would you describe it, maybe like some of the reverb algorithms on the TC like Arena, like those big,
okay,
like huge spacey reverbs, but yeah. There's like they do one with like a shimmer mode on it, and then this one has just got like loads of modulation, so you can like really, it's kind of like having a reverb and a vibrato, so it kind of like really warps the tone of the reverb. But they sound really good. They do the best Flint contender, which is the Deluxe Plus, which is reverb and tremolo in like a smaller box.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, they I think Portland, Oregon, which is where most boutique pedals seem to come from.
Yeah.
It's pretty vibey artist community in Portland, from what I understand. So
yeah.
I was glad to see the Dalai Lama getting a little bit of love. I mean, it did finish with only 11% of the vote.
Yes, yeah, but then they're not a well-known brand.
They're not a very well-known brand, and you don't really see them talked about very much. And
no.
I the Dalai Lama especially. They do a couple of pedals that I really like. The Dalai Lama and the Waterfall, I think it's called, which is the chorus.
Which is their chorus. Yeah,
oh,
it's like
man.
An old Boss CE1. It
yeah.
sounds great.
Those two pedals are absolutely wicked. And yeah, they like Jam doesn't seem to get much of a look in.
No, not many places do them.
fella from Greece, I think.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's just one. It's one of those things because they're called jam pedals. It's not particularly Googleable.
Well, and also it just doesn't have a great connotation. Like jam makes me think for like jam night or like, you know, those jam hub units that are right. I don't know. It's a real cheap
or jam.
Or just jam. It makes me think of jam, and I don't really like jam, so I don't like jam pedals. So yeah, it's a bit weird. They could call it, I don't know, something effects.
The Jimmy Jam.
Yeah, just the Jimmy Jam pedals.
The Jimmy Jam pedals.
I mean, that sounds even worse. What's next?
Next is the...
Where are we up to? What group is
group
this?
Group L, so there's four more left to go, I think.
We went up to group P in the qualifying rounds.
Yeah, so what's that, five more.
Okay.
So group L, we had the Dan Electro Cool Cat, the JHS Angry Charlie, the MXR Phase 90, and the Vox V847WAR. And yeah, out of those four, the Angry Charlie and the Phase 90 making it through. I was a little bit surprised that the WAR didn't go through, but then it's not
it's the Vox WAR. Yeah, totally.
So, you know, maybe not that big a surprise.
But I don't think the Crybaby went through either, did it? We haven't got there yet.
I don't know if the Crybaby... I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay, good.
I've just zoomed a little bit ahead. Okay. Anyway, next up, we had the Digitech Whammy, the Klon Centaur, the Old Blood Noise Dark Star, and the OnePlus Plexi Drive. Actually, this one had a lot of votes. This one had the most votes, more so than the others. And the Whammy made it through on 28. Again, quite really close, this one.
Really tight.
The Whammy made it through on 28%. The Old Blood Noise Dark Star followed it through on 27%. And then the Klon Centaur finished on 25% and the OnePlus on 20%. So...
kind of goes to show sort of how people's sort of view on certain pedals are changing.
Are you?
Because there's so many Klon units out there.
On the Klon now, Matt.
Well, you know, it's not the greatest anymore.
It's not. I mean, you know, only
it's the most expensive.
The cool kids had one. The cool kids had one. What, 2 years ago? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Two and a half years ago, something like that.
I also think Digitech got behind. I think they tweeted a bit about that.
They got involved. So yeah, the Whammy did quite well in the competition. We'll skip ahead to the quarterfinals in a bit.
But basically, what we're saying is, if you're a company and you didn't get involved in this, then
you missed out.
There we go. Next up, we had Group N, which was the Dodd Overdrive Preamp 250, the Korg Miku, the Pigtronics Echolution 2, and the Wayhuge Superpuss. And the Wayhuge made it through. Alongside the Korg Miku, which is really nice. It's nice to see that.
A lot of underground support for the Miku.
Oh,
in the Facebook group, there was a lot of people rallying around the Miku cause.
Yes.
And it didn't quite make it all the way, but it made it fairly far in the competition.
Got going. And then the last two groups, we had the Crybaby, the DL4, the Proco Rat, and the Exotic EP. And again, relatively tight group. The Crybaby made it through with 31%. The DL4 made it through with 25%. And then the Proco Rat and the EP Booster finished on 17% and 27% respectively. So again,
those are the two you'd expect, I think, from that group.
I think so, yeah.
Toughest group, I think, as well.
Group Death.
Yeah, that is total preliminary group of death, yeah. I think.
And then next up, we had the Dr. Green Booster Shot, the Love Pedal... Kalamazoo, the Ramble Effects Marvel Drive 3, and the ZVEX Fuzz Factory. And no surprise to anybody, I think, that the Fuzz Factory made it through alongside the Kalamazoo, which again is something that I don't know anything about.
Matt, have you ever owned any Love Pedal stuff?
They did a run of mini pedals. I don't think they make them anymore.
Did you have the Phaser?
I had the Univibe.
Vibe, that was it, yeah.
Which is really good because it had like a bass adjustment control so you could control how much low end there was in the sweep, which was quite cool. But they did a really good tremolo, like a mini tremolo, and a really good echo. I think, if I remember right, the echo had like a momentary mode, which was quite cool. It's kind of like the mini TC pedals where you hold it down and you only get delay.
Oh, yeah.
That. But they do a lot of... they do like an Echoplex style preamp. They do a lot of different drives. I'm trying to think what they're sort of they're most famous for. I think they own Zen Drive, which was like one of the early, really early like Dumble pedals.
Yeah.
But it's tricky because obviously, now that everyone does one, they're kind of like just in the mix, but for a while they were like the only people that did the Dumble thing in a box.
The Love Pedal, I seem to remember being around like when there weren't that many boutique pedals.
I think they've been around for a really long time. I can't remember the guy's name, but I think he's...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've been doing boutique pedals for ages, and I think actually he's designed a lot of other pedals for people.
Right, okay.
But yeah, they make a lot of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So that was the preliminary groups. Then obviously we went on to an actual group stage and then a round of 16.
Yeah.
Till we made our way to the knockout stages.
So we lost quite a few heavy hitters that you would have expected. So like the Crybaby went out early, the Angry Charlie went out early, the Hoof Reaper, which was, you know, had a good showing at the start, that went out early. You know, we lost a lot. And then when we got to the quarters, just getting back to where it was. Right, so we had a big showdown straight off in the Strymon timeline versus the Cast Engineer and Casper, which is that was a
fun one to watch. The votes come in, I think, yeah, on that one.
Because initially, I think people were voting for the timeline, and then Cast like got involved, did some retweeting and stuff, and Cast seemed to have like a little kind of army of fans that were just right, like really voting for this stuff. So,
yeah, so I suppose the important thing to point out, because you could only vote once, couldn't you? There's not like, there wasn't a thing where you could vote like multiple times.
Oh yeah, like in each round basically you could only vote in one. So
yeah,
in that one, like you couldn't put two votes down for the Cast Casper, you could only vote for it once, and then it like locks the poll off. So
and
people accidentally voted for the wrong thing a couple of times, and I was like, oh, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah,
sorry,
it is what it is.
You've done what you've done. So who won in the battle of the delays?
And I think that this may be, the shape of things to come in 2016 and beyond. The Cast Engineer and Casper, the compact size,
the underdog,
the compact size delay, making it through above the Strymon timeline. Next up, we had another incredible showdown.
Go on.
The Electro-Harmonix Big Muff versus the Thorpe FX Mushroom Cloud.
Okay, so we've already established quite similar.
And again, the mighty were fallen by the Mushroom Cloud, by the Thorpe, making it through there.
When Greece won the Euros.
Yeah, it is. We then had a bit of the Battle of the 80s. In the Tube Screamer 808 versus the Whammy.
Okay.
And the Tube Screamer making it through.
I was shocked by that.
Tube Screamer making it through instead of the Whammy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all the way through the competition, the more extreme effects had done pretty well. Like Miku, I think, only just had been knocked out at this point.
Yeah.
So I was expecting people to go, oh yeah, Whammy over an 808. Yeah. But people, I think, voted with their heads.
Yeah, and started getting a bit more
it's
sensitive.
Kind of,
yeah.
The whole point of this competition is, guess, like, what would you rather have on your board? It's not, like, what's better.
No.
It was like, what if someone said, you can have one of these for free, which one do you go
what
for?
What are you going to use?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The final group was the Phase 90 kicking out the Hall of Fame.
See, that I was really surprised by.
I was also very surprised by that. Really, really surprised.
Was that one of the closest ones?
That was,
I can't remember how close.
That was 59-41. So there weren't any that were like, you know, real nail biting. It was the closest of the four, but nothing that was like properly.
I'm pretty sure at one point the Strymon versus Cast Engineering was at 50-50.
Yeah, it was definitely
really amazing.
Definitely
amazing. And then in the two semi-finals, we had the Cast Engineering Casper taking on the Tube Screamer, which the Cast Engineering, again, just absolutely slammed it, 68% of the votes. And then the Thorpe Mushroom Cloud versus the Phase 90. The Phase 90 that lost its heavy showing and got done in by the Mushroom Cloud at 61%.
So grand final then, in that case, Cast Engineering Casper versus the Thorpe FX Mushroom Cloud.
And I think, unsurprisingly, this came down to the battle of the two companies who had sort of taken this and run with it.
I like it. Two,
yeah.
I also think it was good that it was two brands that, you know, are actually really relatively new as well. Like,
yeah,
really getting behind their pedals. Like, Thorpe's only really had pedals on the market for probably a year.
Yeah, something
I would
like
say
that.
A That's year and I'm... a half. He's been in the community for a while, but he's only really had, like, pedals to market for sort of over a year. And like Cast also, I think, sort of relatively new as well, haven't they?
Yeah,
been making pedals that long.
Yeah, they've only got three pedals out. I think Thorpe's maybe only got three or four, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So about the same. So it was quite good actually to see like all of those two pedals kind of make it all the way to the end and actually not have like the biggest sort of following or, you know, has been seen on as many boards.
Definitely, definitely. And I think I'm not sure if, I mean, Thorpe's definitely available over here. Casper, I guess not yet. I don't think they've got
any
retailers.
No, actually, I've got a feeling that after this, a retailer did actually take them on.
Really?
Yeah, I think because Casper retweeted it a few times and added in a couple of dealers into the UK, and they're now afterwards, when the competition finished, they were tweeting back that they were actually going to start stocking those pedals. So
that is amazing.
I think we've kind of had an effect on that company actually like making its way into the UK market.
I mean,
if
that's true, that's amazing.
That's
stunning.
I mean, that's exactly what this is sort of about. Is,
yeah,
if you know, we can spread the word of things that we're into. That's amazing.
Yeah, 100%.
So this one ended with the most amount of votes. Which
was in the whole competition.
In the whole competition, this had the largest number of votes.
I was sat after we went to the beach yesterday. We came back here and sat in the garden, and I was just like watching this on my phone. Like, wow, this is really close.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
at one point, the person who ended up not winning was winning by some way, and then the other person just clawed it back. Jay, do you want to give us the result?
Well, I can see that at one point. At one point, not long before it all finished, with an hour to go, I think it looks like, the Casper was at 51% and the Mushroom Cloud was at 49%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was just a handful of votes that separated it. And it ended up being the Cast Engineering, they just found that extra 5% to push them forward, and they ended up with that extra 3%, and they ended with 54% to the Mushroom Cloud's 46%. So yeah, the Cast Engineering is the world champion of the Cup of Pedals. The World Cup of Pedals.
Come on, give it
well,
a
the
proper.
World champion of the
World Cup
of Pedals,
2016. It was really exciting.
It was really fun. It was really, really fun. And yeah, I don't know if... Does anyone from Cast Engineering listen to this podcast?
I think so, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
no.
Well, you know,
I've actually got a feeling that one of the guys in the Guitar Nerds group...
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I think Chris, yeah, I think, is from Cast. So,
oh, okay. Well, I mean, if you know, maybe what would be cool is if you want to... We'll pick someone at random who voted in the final. Maybe see if we can get my prize.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some Cast stuff here that we could maybe give away. We'll see.
Maybe we'll
do a little competition down the line. We need to do some demos and stuff on it. But yeah, we can give some stuff away, definitely.
I think maybe like a little congratulations.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. So it's not something I want to do all the time.
No, what are we doing next week?
Well, I mean,
World Cup of Joe Branton's Voices.
I don't need. Oh God,
I don't know if we could actually. Yeah, there probably is 64 voices.
Oh, God. They're all just slight variations on Gandalf.
World Cup of...
American Gandalf.
World Cup of instruments that Joe has had and has sold.
Yeah.
World Cup of pedals that Matt used to own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you could do several World Cups.
We could definitely do a World Cup of Guitars 2016, but I'm not going
to
do it.
I'd quite like to see that like some point down the line, because like pedals are great, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of people that follow companies, but guitars, I'd like to see some of the sort of big hitters like Fender and Gibson getting behind that on the on the social media.
I think that'd be cool. I think we shouldn't do that for at least a few months, because it did take up basically every evening
the
last week.
Weekend, yeah.
Like, when I was sat here thinking, oh, Ella's going to be home soon, and this, what I'm actually doing is quite weird. When I was sat in front of my phone doing a live stream, picking out bits of like scrunched up paper with different pedals on them, pretending to do a live draw. Like, well, I was doing a live draw. No, I was doing a live draw, but I mean pretending to do it in the style of, let's say, the FA Cup or
right,
a World
gotcha,
Cup
yeah.
draw. And yeah, I just thought, like, yeah, she's going to be back in maybe 5-10 minutes. I need to wrap this up soon because this is quite a weird thing for a 31-year-old man to be sitting doing on a Thursday night on his own.
I kind of feel like if we do like World Cup of pedals, or, sorry, World Cup of guitars or World Cup of amps, maybe we need to sort of dress it up a bit. And when I say dress it up a bit, what I mean is
dress up a bit.
You and me should be wearing suits.
Yep.
And like have like. Maybe get one of those bingo rollers.
Yep, into that.
And
into that big.
Give everything. Make 100%. It like a proper FA Cup draw.
It'd be quite good if we did, World Cup of guitars, amps, and pedals, and then the winners from all of those, we kind of somehow put together some sort of rig and then demoed it.
Okay,
I'd be up for that.
The champions
and,
rig.
Unless that some what if sort it ends of up random being like bespoke guitar wins that cost like $6,000, and we're like,
we just gotta buy it. Gotta buy it.
Yeah, can't really afford that.
Guitar's a more difficult one, isn't it? Because like.
What do you go with? Do you go with Fender Strat?
I guess
or
you just
Tele?
You just go Fender Stratocaster, because you couldn't go down like Fender Roadstar Strat or anything.
No, of course
you
not.
Could go. You'd go like Fender Strat, Fender Tele. I guess you couldn't. With this, we tried to do one pedal
each,
per company,
yeah.
But you couldn't do that.
You can't just choose a Strat or a Tele,
no.
Or a Les Paul or an SG.
But what you
but
could
they're,
do...
They're one of the only two companies that you would probably have two models.
Yeah, but then it's a
one.
Little bit unfair giving them...
Maybe we have to. Maybe they have to go head-to-head.
That's what I was just about to say. Preliminary rounds that time when we do the guitars could be Strat,
so we,
Tele, Jaguar, Jazzmaster.
And then Gibson could be Les Paul, SG335.
Another one.
Firebird.
Yeah. But then it gets a bit more difficult after that. BC Rich, Mockingbird,
Warlock,
Strand. You could. You wouldn't have to do it for all of them, but you could just like. Yeah.
You could do like two from each brand, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. When you get to brands like Strandberg, you're going to be a bit like, oh, yeah.
Custom option one, custom option two. So yeah, we're not going to do it for a while, but World Cup of Guitars definitely will happen at some point, I think.
That's a long way away, but I was just thinking that to me sounds like a Christmas special. But then again, we've got so much going on at Christmas with Geary.
Can we do
Year.
World Cup of Picks?
No.
Yeah. Yeah,
no. Dunlop 88.73.
At @Matt_Nightsy on Twitter is going to be the World Cup of Picks 2016.
World Cup of Strings and Picks.
I don't want anything to do with that. So you can do that one on your own time, I think. So there we go. That was the World Cup of Pedals 2016. Do head over to the Twitter, @GuitarNerds, and you can see all the full results. You can see at which point the Korg Miku dropped off. The slightly ironic support for it, I think, wasn't enough to make it through the round of 16. I think
yeah,
it got
I
to.
Think so.
So,
is there going to be some sort of? Were you thinking about doing some sort of video of potentially a rundown or
see,
some demos?
See, I thought about this as well. Like, if we plan it a bit better when we do the guitars one, we could do. Yeah, we could do it in video format.
What? How do you mean?
Well,
what,
we could
demo
do,
each of the
no,
guitars.
No. We could do
we just
like
need to get a loan of 64 guitars.
Yeah, yeah. No, we could do like they would do on like Match of the Day or something, or like the World Cup thing, and we could have, you know, we could be sat in like a newsroom type vibe with a little preliminary, all the lists with the groups, and then each day we could film a video saying what happened.
Yeah.
In the that's a lot.
We're all going to need to book a week off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine.
It'd be worth it.
Yeah,
it'd be worth
I think
it.
So.
It will be really fun. And look, I was thinking about this in the week when this was all kicking off. We've become one of those podcasts where, you know, sometimes you're like you're keeping up with a podcast, and every now and again you're like, oh, I can't keep up with that one. I'll listen to it in a couple of weeks. Like you give it a couple of weeks and you go, oh, I'll do it all in one hit. We've become one of those podcasts where you sort of can't get away with doing that anymore because there's stuff that happens in the week that you need to
every week.
You just need to keep up and listen every week.
Keeping it fresh, basically.
Absolutely.
Fresh and so clean.
That's it.
Talking about things that happen in the week, there has actually been some news this week which for this time of the year is pretty unlikely because we're really far away from NAMM. We're not quite at summer NAMM yet. Music Messer is long gone and nothing even really happened this year, but people are still releasing stuff, and perhaps a candidate for the World Cup of Pedals 2017, Chase Bliss Audio announced the Tonal Recall. Matt Knight, as a Arnold Schwarzenegger and pedal fan, this must be your dream come true.
I mean, I would probably buy it just on the reference alone. Possibly the greatest movie of all time, Total Recall. Do you know what? It's one thing that really sells these pedals to me, and it's the company that does the demo videos. The Knobs YouTube channel seem to have a certain way of demoing pedals that kind of just go, yeah, I need to buy that.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Chase Bliss have just been one of those companies that have kind of got sort of got it right. They've kind of gone, we need to make analog pedals, but what people want who are going to buy our pedals are they're using massive switching systems and they need like basically control over every parameter. So everything on the front is completely MIDI controllable.
Yeah.
And they've sort of they've done a phaser, they've done a vibrato, they've done a flanger, they've done a tremolo, and now they've done a delay. So a completely analog delay, but you've got complete control over everything that you can do on the front via MIDI, which I think is like pretty amazing, really. There's nothing else out there that covers that.
So you've, when you say they're controllable via MIDI, is there MIDI in on that pedal?
Yeah, well, it's done in a very clever way, which is MIDI to TRS control. So it's MIDI to stereo jack, which you can buy an adapter for.
Okay.
And then on the top of the pedal, there's basically a series of 10, actually, I think it's more than that. I think it's 14 dip switches. And depending on if the dip switch is up or down, means that it sends a MIDI on and off signal to that particular control.
Okay.
But what it then does give you is gives you basically loads of presets. So you've actually got the ability then over MIDI to save analog presets, which is awesome, really. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, this analog delay, this is like, you know, like the old Ibanez analog delay. It's like, oh, it sounds, there's so many good settings.
But you
kind of don't want to move the pedal because you've already got it sounding really good.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like every time you find something new, if you're using a MIDI switching system, you can be like, oh, I can just save another preset. If you're not using MIDI, it's fine because there's still three presets on board. It also gives you tap tempo. There's also loads of modulation controls. The modulation's got different waveforms. It's just like an all-in-one unit. And for something that's actually like the size of a normal pedal, it's kind of like, yeah, spot on.
They fit a lot into it, haven't they?
I'm amazed how much they managed to get into one pedal. So, you know, it's mono in, mono out, MIDI control, expression pedal. And also if you use things like modular synthesis, it's got CV input.
Has it?
So you can control certain things via CV as well. So I'm kind of like, for the money, I mean, it's, I think they're about $350. So, I mean, it's definitely up there with some of the pricier units on the market. But yeah, I'm really into the guy who makes it. I can't remember his name, but he's like really into just like the design of the pedal. He's just like, everything has to be spot on, but it's got to be analog, but you've got to be able to control everything on board. And how he fits it into like a normal pedal size, I have no idea.
It's funny, really, because it's the kind of thing that had this been released 3 years ago or even 2 years ago, we'd have been sat here going, so it's got all of the functions of a digital pedal, but it's an analog pedal. This is going to be rubbish. Like, it's going to sound rubbish. Something's not going to work. It's not going to be easy to use. But because it's Chase Bliss, you know that it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And, like, you know that it's going to be easy to use and that you're not going to have any hassle over it. And I think it's interesting just the way that things have sort of moved on in just a couple of years, and you know, you've got a few companies here and there that you can just be like, yeah, this is going to be really good. There's no,
and they also
question.
Come in the best packaging. They come in like a wooden like a hand carved like wooden box inside like a really nice like velvet bag. I mean, you're not obviously going to carry it around in the wooden box, but it's a nice thing to open the package and that being a kind of cool box. Their whole range is awesome.
What I was going to say is that in a time when, you know, certain companies are bringing out like 8 pedals at a time, or Electro-Harmonics, as we've seen, bring out like, you know, 15 across the course of a year.
Yeah.
When Chase Bliss drop a new pedal, it kind of feels like a bit of an event because they've only got, what, 4 or 5 models?
5 in total. And I mean, they built their whole company pretty much around the warped vinyl.
Yeah.
You know, they made the warped vinyl. Everyone was like, look, this unit is like incredible. Because once again, like vibrato, obviously you've got companies like Boston, the VB2, you know, reissuing sort of that and modifying. One time, the only one that I could think of that was out was like the Zvex one, which they did the lo-fi loop junkie, which was a... but no one else had kind of cracked the basically the warped vinyl sound.
Yeah, no, and they've got it down.
And the Chase Bliss one sort of just, yeah, they absolutely nailed it. And then they've kind of gone, hold on, what other modulation effects can we do? So, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Because it got me thinking about the old Nova Drive from TC, because that was analog overdrive and distortion, but it had MIDI in. Because the idea was you could hook it up to your G system, and each modulation preset on the G system could have an analog distortion. So, I don't know, what else could they do? I suppose, yeah, drive is sort of the next one, perhaps.
Yeah,
it,
definitely.
It sounds like the warp vinyl, to me, kind of, I get the impression that maybe they heard a deco and were like, this is cool. They've done, like, reel-to-reel sounding stuff. That's cool. You know what else sounds cool? It's, like, proper vinyl. Let's make something that sounds a bit like that. And that you know, they've gone down that sort of thought route.
I think it's more that they heard, yeah, like Boss VB2Ws, because actually I don't think those pedals sound too far apart. But the warp vinyl is kind of, not that they heard the VB2W, because obviously yeah, it was out first, yeah, but yeah, the VB2, the VB2, sorry. Yeah. The warp vinyl is kind of like a VB2 with loads of extra controls on it. It gives you a real similar sound at points. And it also obviously does a load of other things as well. So I think that's kind of where they got that from.
Yeah. I was just quickly on his website just reading his bio, and he was like, basically his brother died in like a car accident, and he was just like, you know what, I hate my job, I'm gonna build pedals. Took the name of the Chase Bliss Audio from someone's mantra, and then basically just learned how to build pedals from 2007 to 2013, and then that's when he launched the first pedal. So he spent 6 years basically learning how to do it, and wow, then, yeah, basically nailed it.
I mean, what
so
time to
fair
what,
play?
What time to go into it as well? Like,
well, yeah, like
100%, yeah.
Coming
yeah
out of it like being a complete, like, you know, knowing, learning, having learned what you've learned at the exact, like, the exact turning point when sort of boutique pedals became something that people were willing to spend money on. You know, it's great.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And, you know, what you get with those, like I say, it does seem like a bit of an event because they don't come out very often. And I think this Tonal Recall is definitely going to be like a bit of an event pedal. It's one you're going to see like starting to turn up on everyone's board. You tend to see that if people have got a few of them already, they always buy the new one. Like, you see loads of people's pedals boards and they've got like four Chase Bliss pedals, but yeah, almost nothing else.
Right.
They'll just buy...
I've just had a look. The only dealer pretty much doing them in the UK at the moment is listing them as available to order. It's £400.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of like Strymon territory, but I think they're probably one of the only companies I've seen recently that deservingly kind of could easily take it on. And I think they will be, you know how people have got like a Blue Sky, a Mobius and a Timeline on their boards. So I think, like you say, you're going to have people that have got like all five Chase Bliss pedals on their pedal board, and yeah, and because it's MIDI controlled, you know, the sort of the combinations are endless, really.
Yeah, get that and something like a, you know, ES8 or ES5 or something, and you've got yourself pretty impressive board, like hand.
Yeah.
You're basically buying yourself like a hand built MIDI controllable multi effects.
That's all analog.
That's all analog. Yeah, that is.
Yeah,
but also pretty pricey at that point. You would have spent like £1,500 on a board.
Well.
Oh, that's not. I know it's nothing to you, Matt. But yeah,
That's the thing. That is the kind of, that's almost the trend at the moment, because you're not only got people that are like putting all of these expensive pedals on pedal boards. You've got people out there building boards for people that are charging, you know, half that just to put them together. I think it's becoming like an art form almost in a way. So people like do handcrafted guitars. It's the people that have got like handcrafted pedal boards. It's like the new thing.
Matt, you need to get into like woodworking or ironworking, and then you can build the boards and you get to wire them up and place all the pedals and stuff.
I know, that would really be the ultimate dream. Well, look at Salvage Custom in America. That's what they do. They make these amazing handcrafted wooden exotic wood pedal boards that, you know, if you basically go, I priced one up the other day because I was talking to someone about it and we were like looking at it. If you go for like Pedal Train Pro size wooden board with wooden like clip-on lid in, say, like, I don't know, Babinga wood, it's like $950.
Wow. And that's with no, that's no pedals or anything.
That's no pedals. That's just the board. And then you think, if you got it shipped to the UK, you know, you're talking like £1,000 for a pedal board.
Yeah, that's a lot. Is there any power with that, or is that
no?
Really? No,
it's literally, that is just the board and the box.
Wow.
And they're on like a 6-month waiting list as well at the moment. So
I mean, they probably don't need to build one. You know, probably do one a week, and they're doing all right out of it.
Mate, what you need to do, mate, is you need to give up work and you need to go and turn up at the door of the person who runs Chase Bliss and just be like, listen, will you be my Mr. Miyagi?
Teach me.
And
teach me the ways.
Will you be my Mr. Miyagi? And in 5 years' time, you're gonna change the world. We're not gonna hear from you. Like that's it. Like,
Matt's going to be painting fences in Mr. Miyagi's back garden.
Me, Mark and Joe are going to be doing this podcast. And then when you know, 5 years'
then
time...
I'm a live phone-in.
When we're in 5 years' time, when Mark's in his late 30s and I'm still in my, you know, early 30s.
Late 30s.
You'll come back and be like, guys, I did it.
I've built one pedal. In 5 years.
Can we hear it? No.
No, it doesn't work.
No.
It's broken.
No.
Still in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've built the first air pedal. Anyway, with that, we're almost up at time, so we should probably call it an evening. What I would say is that loads of the kind of input for the World Cup pedals came from the Facebook group. And I just want to say thanks to everyone who's on the Facebook group and now everyone who's on the Twitter, because I think we got like
100 followers,
more than like 200 extra
really?
People, I think, through doing the World Cup stuff. So that was awesome. Facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum and the Twitter is @guitar nerds. But also, thanks very much as always to our Patreon backers. On patreon.com/guitar nerds, you can get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week, either from our regular paid tier of $5 a month, where you get the extra half an hour. Or $10 a month, we've had a spot open up for an executive producer backer. So if you want to get in at the $10 a month price point, you'll get your name read out with these lovely people.
Mark Cross, Mark Rice, Rob Pierce, JD Shaw, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Tomsett, Laurie Anstis, Moot Gravett, Colin Anderson.
I'm really out of breath. Oh, I need to do an extra swallow.
I've nearly left you another bar.
Okay. It was really, for some reason, doing the in between the drums.
Which
was,
bit, sorry?
It's really difficult. Anyway, yeah, thanks to everyone who's on our executive tier level. It's always awesome for you contributing to doing this thing and, you know, helping us out a little bit to buy Iron Brews and cans of vanilla Coca-Cola to help us get through the podcast. Matt, you're drinking a beer, aren't you?
I am. I am drinking Brewdog Punk IPA.
Nice.
It is fantastic.
Very nice indeed. So thanks for that. We're going to, on the Patreon episode, if you want to join us, we're going to be talking about Gibson quality control, a topic very dear to our hearts. And
that we have to put behind a paywall.
Yes, a controversial on the old Facebook group. If you want to come listen to what our thoughts on that, do head over patreon.com/guitar nerds. As always, the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, @guitar nerds on Twitter, @mark_random, @matt_nicey, @jaybm1. And if you're feeling like you want to see some internet idiocy, @joseph_900. Also on YouTube, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. I'm going to be putting up some new stuff. I think I'm doing the history of the wah pedal this week. That's going to go up probably on Friday. Thanks so much for listening, and yeah, we'll see you next week.
Cheers, gang.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.